is an invitation. Nobody wants, but everybody gets. In this life, hurt happens, doesn't it? Sometimes it comes from people. Sometimes it comes from ourselves. Sometimes it's spiritual. Oftentimes it's physical. Cuts deep when it's relational. Sometimes it's hard to understand when it's psychological. But pain comes, and sometimes it comes into our life just kind of like an Oregon rain. It just comes and it just rains and it rains and it rains. Sometimes it's like one of those showers. It kind of comes and goes, and other times it points in life, it can be like a tsunami just crashing in and changing everything in its path and seeming to destroy. At that moment, we are invited to trust God's healing. It's an invitation to process pain with faith. My life has had a fair amount of pain. The last 11-month journey through the pinched nerves of my spinal cord have not been very pleasant. But it has provided me this glorious, agonizing opportunity to learn from the Lord who suffered. So I want to share some with you this morning, because I sure hate to waste some of these lessons I've learned on just me. And I've heard from a few that some of you are in this process with me. And so pain is this invitation that we would indeed trust God in dark times, not just get through them, but to actually get through them the way He wants us to get through them. I want you to join me on this journey. I want to take a couple texts of Scripture, James and Romans, and I kind of want to let Scripture interpret Scripture. It's a little scary for me, having been out of the pulpit for a month, to take two passages. Some of you know that could be dangerous. But James chapter 1 starts off with these words in verse 2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the what? The testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Let endurance have its perfect result. I'm going to talk some about that today, because there is a letting. And I'm here to tell you there is a refusing that we can do. You can't control God. Is that true? We've all done some trying, but it's true. You can't control God, but you can choose whether or not you grow with God. You can choose whether or not you experience what He is inviting you to. So you can let, and you can refuse. And then over in Romans 8, in the 16th verse, he says, the Spirit also testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. Amen? And we have received this Spirit, right? And as children, we are now heirs, heirs of God, fellow heirs of Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may be glorified with Him. There is a glory He wants to invite you and I into that comes through suffering. Comes through suffering. For I consider what says. And this is, now remember, anything that's in Scripture, this is God talking. He's just using a man to write it down. So this isn't Paul, this is God saying, this is what the truth is. He says, for I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared not even close, he says. So how do we respond positively to pain? Well, he said it in this passage, didn't he? So I want you to consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. I'm here to tell you, over the last months, I can't recall a time when one of these headaches has come over me and I've said, oh goody, how's it happen? Yeah, and I've read it and I've never said, oh goody. But I want you to understand, when he says consider it all joy, he's not saying consider the trial joy. He's not saying that this trial should make you happy. It didn't make Christ happy in the garden. The joy comes in believing what can be produced through the trial. And so I consider it all joy knowing that the testing of my faith is producing something. Well, pain is this invitation to believe God for a glorious eternity while experiencing a present agony. Does that make sense? And so you may be experiencing agony in a relationship right now. And it can be all different directions. Isn't that right? Some of you have been surprised where pain comes from. Some of you, it's a pain if you look actually towards your parents. Some of you, it's towards your children. Some of you, it's towards an ex. Some of you, it's towards that beloved that you thought was so perfect when you thought you picked him. But relationally, people that you work with, there's pain that comes in all these situations. And he says, consider it all joy knowing. It is the knowing that builds you a perspective. There is an understanding that can be discerned and developed in the Spirit of God that says, this is worth it. And until you have that eternal perspective, you're not going to have the divine attitude. So if you're here, like me at times, and you look at this stuff and you go, oh God, what in the world are you thinking when you say, consider it all joy? I mean, haven't you read some of those passages in Scripture and you go, I don't get it? And some of you, if you're honest, will say, I don't buy it. You know, you say, that's fine, I like a lot of passages, I don't like that one. But when you know what he knows, when you get his viewpoint, it'll change yours. That's what I've discovered. And so here's one of the first principles I want you to see, and that is this in your notes, is that our perspective about pain directs our response to pain. See, I don't know about you, but I prefer pleasure to pain. I mean, I don't know, some of you may be sadistic and I like suffering. I got that drill sergeant mentality. Usually that drill sergeant mentality is seeing somebody else suffer. It's not suffering yourself. That's still twisted, but it's a different kind of twist. But when we consider, and it's interesting, that James said, I want you to consider it all joy when you encounter this trial. That was interesting. Because I think most of us kind of get to the end of the trial. Oh, hallelujah, it's over. We rejoice that it's done. We rejoice that we got through. We rejoice that... No. He's saying when you're in it, when you encounter it, when you're in that experience, he says there is to be a divine joy that you can embrace it with. So he says, consider it. Interestingly enough, the Holy Spirit uses that same word over here in James 8 and says, I consider the sufferings of this time. I consider, the word consider is to calculate, to numerically evaluate what this is and what the potential worth is. Reading about some guy who went into a store and bought himself a little picture frame the other day. I think it was $2. Evaluation, $240,000. You have to know the value of things, friends. And I'm here to tell you that somebody has switched the value tags in this life. And when you get into the Word of God, you'll spend time in the Word, you can develop an eternal value system. And so he says, I want you to consider this, because what's coming is not even worthy to be compared to what you're going through. And so we need this re-evaluation. I think that's John Calvin talked about that the idea that our evaluations are shaped by our values. Isn't that so? Because there's some things that some of you value now, 30 years ago, you wouldn't even rip about. All of a sudden now, this means something to you. You see? And so we are called to value, according to Scripture here, what is purposeful over our feelings. Oh man, we are people of feelings, aren't we? Your child that you know is just being selfish will turn and look at you and say, I just hate you. And you know they don't really mean that. They're just being selfish. Still sticks you though, doesn't it? It still feels. And our feelings then direct our responses. And we are people who react rather than people who respond. And react is what I call flesh. Respond is what I call spirit or faith. Where I'm saying I'm going to choose my response as opposed to let my response choose me. But when we think about this, considering this, evaluating, isn't it true that you have learned 10 times, 100 times more through your times of agony than you ever have through your times of ecstasy? I mean, even in sports, I learned so much more through getting whooped on than I ever learned from doing the whoop. Okay? I always learn more from my losses. And so we can consider this, we can discern this knowing that the testing of your faith will produce endurance if you what? If you let it. So there's this perspective about pain that then says, oh, this is a productive thing for me to do. I want to do it. You don't like the discomfort, but you do like the development. And so that's just like weightlifting, any kind of conditioning. It's not that, hey, I enjoy sweating. It's just I enjoy the body being stronger and healthier. This is considered in all joy. And so I think there's something there that we've talked about many, many times. What? No gain. No pain. No gain. There has to be a willingness to suffer. And so, secondly, I want you to see this, that our response to pain reveals what you believe about God and eternity. Now, this is one of those things that's not so comfortable in observation, because you may not like what it says to you. I haven't liked what it said to me. You see, because there's a tendency to resent pain. There's a tendency to resent problems. We resent problem people. As opposed to say, God, this is a wonderful chance for me to grow up so much. But haven't the people you have resented, haven't the people who have wounded you, haven't the problems that have come upon you presented you a much deeper opportunity as you went through it to grow up? It is not all the easy, nice people that help you mature. It is that obnoxious boss. It is that annoying neighbor that has brought you to the place where you said, oh God, please change me. You see, because you started with a, please change my neighbor. Isn't that right? That's where you started, friend. But if you keep at it and God doesn't do what you want him to do, eventually you'll begin doing what he wants you to do and say, Lord, I'm the one that needs to be changed. So regardless of whether that person ever changes, I will at least become the man of God, the woman of God that you called me to do. Whether my spouse ever moves, I want to move with you. True? That's what pain does. And so my response reveals what I'm believing. So this is your attitude check. It's like a gauge on the dashboard of life. If you don't see that joy response to God in these situations, it's saying, there's something I'm not believing. So do I believe that God is at work for good in me now through weakness, through loss, through suffering? Or is my pain if that's what you see, then you have every reason to despair. Because then it's meaningless. But when pain is purposeful, now I'm getting something out of this. So now I'm okay with the process. Well, okay, that's how it's working. But it's that idea, it's like, will I fight him? Or will I face it with him? Okay? And so, when I believe that it's part of the divine purpose and process, I will respond differently. Isn't that what Jesus was inviting his disciples to do? They hadn't got it yet. They really couldn't grasp it, even though he had told them again and again and again, I'm going to this place. When I'm in Jerusalem, they're going to execute me. The night before he was executed, he's telling them, hey guys, be of good cheer. What's that? That's rejoice. All right? Hey, rejoice. In this world, you will have nothing but blessings, nothing but power and glory. Anything you ask for, just ask it, my Father. That's in those chapters. There's a couple of things. Ask for anything. What do you say? But in this world, you'll have what? You'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Be a rejoicing person in the tribulation. Someplace else we're going. This is not home. Hallelujah. I mean, it's a nice place. If I'm going to suffer Oregon, it's pretty good. I like the beauty of the Creator's work in this valley. And I've been around an awful lot of the world, and there's some nice spots, but I've never said, this is always where I wanted to be. Because it produces. So the truth is that the Savior is living for me. He's also living in me. He's living with me. He's living for me in that painful situation. So if I begin to believe that, the question we get when we get pain, when we experience difficult situations is please let this stop, as opposed to please grow me up. But I'm here to tell you that the suffering and the pain that you're in, you already asked God for. No, wait a minute. Oh, yes, you did. Because did you not come to the Father and say, would you please make me more like Jesus? Have you not prayed that? Then who are you following? He carried the cross. He told us we're going to carry a cross. So when I have prayed that prayer, I need to understand that I've already embraced this. If you're following Jesus, you've already embraced the path of the cross. That's what this is about. If you think following Jesus is just happiness and roses, I'm sorry, somebody lied to you. Following Jesus involves suffering for the Savior, suffering with the Savior. Not just in persecution. People thought, well, I'm ready for persecution. You haven't been able to handle a flat tire in a godly manner yet. We are not ready for a machete, okay? Until you start being able to have a better attitude about that teacher, about that parent, you are not ready for a gun in your face. But start processing pain now in a productive way. Our faith response to suffering provides solutions. Something going on inside of you is letting you do this work, that let you do this work. So it's said in a very similar way over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 17. I'd like you to just read this with me. I think it's, I don't know about you guys, I kind of got into this. I like hearing you all say the truth at the same time. It's like it's kind of tune in the choir. This is what the truth is. Let's believe it together. All right, ready? For momentary life affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Isn't that awesome thought? Because some of you have been going through some stuff and you're tired. But if you knew what it was producing, see, if we put a dollar value on it, some of you get all excited about it. That's not the value system he's working with. It's character. So Paul says, I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be. I evaluated it, I analyzed it, and I bought it. You see, some of you bought something recently, and you had to do that, didn't you? You compared models, you looked at stuff, is that really worth that? Am I going to, you know, if it's a QCV channel or whatever that is, man, no, you're not supposed to be buying that stuff. Okay, but, sorry, editorial. But anyway, but that you think, is this really worth it? If it's 2 a.m., you're not supposed to be buying stuff. All right. Am I willing to buy what he says is now? Will I let him use that child in my life to break my heart, to humble my heart, to shape my heart, that I might become the person he wants? And you think you're on your knees for the child? He's already got the child. He's trying to get the parent. Let's read the story of Abraham and Isaac. Who do you think God was after on the side of that mountain? You think he was after Isaac? I think Isaac was probably doing some praying too. Dad's got a knife over top of you. But the issue was Abraham's heart, wasn't it? Parents, the issue of our children, the issue of our grandchildren. Need something to capture your heart and to back it towards sin, and he'll take you through agony, shaking, and fear. And he can be that reflection of other people. He can be that hope to other people. And aunts and uncles, you can bear this stuff with them. We do this together. But my response to my surface. He says, I got excited about this because it hurt myself, you know? This thought that it's not worthy to be compared to what? To the glory, the glory that is to be revealed to us. Now understand, my understanding of this, that's not here. That is not here. Now there is some nice blessings. There's some great stuff that we get here, you know? Amos James is supposed to arrive sometime in the next few days. I'm looking forward to seeing my third grandchild. That's going to be awesome. When we get to heaven, when we see him, he says, nothing but the glory that is to be revealed. He says, the whole creation is waiting. And it's interesting, it says, anxiously longing for the revealing of the sons of God. Right? Now, sometimes I've read that and almost said, you know, the whole creation is saying, will you guys please get it together so we can get out of the curse and get back with God the way we were before you guys all screwed it up?
Genesis 2 and 3. Check it out on your own. It's that we messed up the earth. We've been messing it up ever since. He said, but there's coming a day when that curse will be removed, and it'll be able to cooperate with the Creator the way He intended it to. And He said, there's that day coming for us as well. He says, but there's coming a day when our Creator, the Majestic One, will be revealed to us. And on that day, you are not going to say, I can't believe you put me through this. So why are you telling me that now? See, on that day, I'm going to, you are who you are, you're awesome, you're glorious, you're majestic, because I will see Him for who He is. Now, if you believe that, let me shape that into you. See, that's what faith is. Faith isn't when you see it. We walk by faith, not by sight. But a lot of us are saying, God, please show me. Please make it obvious to me. That's not the point. The point is, will you praise me when you don't like it? When you don't understand it? When you can't see it? That's when praise gives God glory. And any pagan can be happy when he understands good stuff is going on. We're supposed to be different than the pagans. Okay. It's not worthy to be there. There's something else in there that I want you to see. You can't go right there. I don't wrap up. I'll give you a little seed. You go chase it on your own. In Ephesians chapter 1, 18 verse, he says, I want your eyes to be open that you might understand the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And the glory that's coming to us, friends, is not just the glory of who He is. It's going to be the glory of what you discover that He was doing with His gemstones in this life. And there is no polishing a gemstone without friction. And what He's, but there's coming a day when He's going to pull back the curtain and say, oh, I did not know. I did not know. You are glory to God. And that's going to be revealed someday. But so it's understanding this, then our response to pain then is going to determine how much, what? How much character and how much glory is going to go to God. It's going to produce in us, you see. But here's where I want to do a switch up. So I'm going to read this again. I see it right here. And then I'm going to show you how else this can be read. So why don't you read this together with me again. Says, our response to pain determines how much character and glory it produces in us. Now, that's usually the way we're responding. It's me and the agony. You got your own, whatever that means. It's me and this pain. I want to switch it to this. This may be the most significant thing I said. It's our response to God determines how much glory and glory He produces in us. I am not in a battle of pain. Oh yeah, I am. I am. You know what I mean. No, I'm responding to Him. If you'll let each painful situation be an invitation into the Father's presence, into His will, into His purpose, it changes everything. So you can be in agony. It's still happening. Not happy with the pain. It's happy with the Father. Some of you have really angry at God. We're going to talk some about that next week. You know, pain's a path. It's not just an invitation. And there's spots in your life that you have gotten so mad at God about. Some of that stuff hasn't been dealt with yet. Lord willing, next Sunday. But right now, I want you to see something. That faith in action, in obedience, is what's going to build the character. He says, I want you to let it produce. produce this thing. When I was a coach, I wasn't the nicest guy. Just wasn't. Liked to yell. But the thing I was good at was pushing athletes to perform better. It was pushing them beyond what they thought they could do. And they didn't like it because I asked them to do what they didn't want to do. Isn't that what your father's doing to you? He's saying, you said you wanted to run faster. This is what it's going to take. This is the test that's going to come. And so it's not like looking at the weight produces this transformation. It's the lifting. You've got to be willing to lift it, friends, to rejoice in it. And so what does God command our response to be? Remember, it's not the response to the pain. It's the response to God in the pain. See, if you make it about the pain, you keep going, God, this makes no sense to me. No. It's about, will you trust me so that Job could say, naked I came into my father's womb, naked I mother's womb, naked I will return there. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Looking at ten freshly dug graves. Consider it joy. Rejoice always. In everything, give thanks. Those are the principles, not for the happy times, but for the sad times. So the response of worship and gratitude at the point of pain is what produces change. You hear me there? It's not the after the point of pain. It's at the point. If I can't come to praise Him in the pain, I haven't matured. So maturity is developed by responding with faith to the process. How? Will you obey? Is this an answer anything? Easy to say. Say thank you. We'll get to look at it next week. Over in Hebrews chapter 11. Take a read over there. Moses says, hey, I think it's worth it. Go through this guy. And he chose to be a slave. He chose to be identified with pain. Saying, I believe the treasure will come to you. Let endurance have it. When pain is perceived as purposeful, it can be welcomed. When you and I say there is no reason, no situation that will justify what you've allowed me to go through, you won't do it. You'll stay stuck. And haven't you met people who, having been through a point of abuse at some time, it's been shown psychologically, the person will just lock up there unless they come to a point of healing about that abuse. And they'll be emotionally stuck there because they never came to a spot where he said, I believe there's a good God working for me in this ugly, awful, evil, sinful situation I was put into, not of my own. When I truly believe the truth about God, His character, and my eternity. Glory. Glory to God. I want to give Him praise for that. So the apostles did that. They said they considered, they rejoiced that they were considered worthy to what? To suffer shame for His name. Paul and Silas. Remember those guys in Acts 16? They led a girl to Jesus. And because she came to Jesus, she no longer participated in telling fortunes. So they destroyed somebody else's business. So they beat them. And then they locked their feet and hands in stocks, put them inside the prison. And so that night, Paul and Silas were whining and complaining to God about He had let them down when they had been so obedient to You and done everything You've asked me to do, and You haven't come through for me, God. Someone said, he said, and they were singing hymns of what? Of praise to God. And the prisoners were listening. You understand, there are other people listening to you. Whether you're whining, whether you're crazy, you are testifying of God's perspective to you. Your perspective of God and how good God's been to you, no matter what you're going through. What are you saying? What are you saying? And I want to challenge you in Matthew 7:21. Just because you say you're a Christian doesn't mean you're a Christian. Are you walking this stuff out? The full 7th chapter of Matthew talks about this, but just 7:21 says this. Read it with me. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of my Father who is in heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Friends, are you in his will? Are you giving your heart control to him? Are you giving God lip service? Are you giving him your life service? We're not saved by our works. But when you're saved, you will work. Your life is transformed. And so if your perspective doesn't produce joy, you're not believing the truth. The truth about him, the truth about your life. I want to invite you to repent and believe your life. This pain is an invitation to God with your life. It's not easy. I'm still working. I was kind of doing the team three classes. That's what we have. Father, we thank you for the agony of this life that we might live for that which is life indeed. We know we're not home yet, but we know you are true, you are righteous, and you are good, even when we can't comprehend it. You are who you are forever and ever. And we should. So we just want to come today and say, Lord, would you open our eyes and minds to wrap around this a little while? Little people, to let this in, we would not be whining. We'd be worshipers. Give you the glory.